Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Who's all ready for Christmas? Anyone? Everyone? That's a pretty good amount of people. Thanks for coming out tonight for our very first Christmas experience. That just means you guys are holier than the tomorrow's crowd. So just should give yourself a hand for that. It's a joke. You're like, should I do that? No, it's completely all right. Holy cow, we must have had a lot of fun. I can't see anything. I just feel like I have raptured and I am in heaven. Because you guys look beautiful. Hey, I just want to give a real quick shout out. I want to thank all of our awesome teams who are working super hard, all of our volunteers, everyone who made tonight happen, the decorations, the kids' environments, the lights outside, the dance moves, the light, everything. We just are thankful for all that. We have dancing elves in the lobby. We just got so many people doing so many things. So I'm grateful for that. If this is your first time, my name is Sean Jensen. Me and my wife have the awesome privilege of pastoring here, and we just love it. We love Christmas time. I think it's an awesome time. It's a time I pop and bust out my sweater. You guys like my sweater? That's depressing. All right, so I'll wear something else tomorrow. I'm wearing a sleeveless tank. That's what I'm wearing tomorrow. Sounds more of our crowd here. So we're thankful for you guys coming out. And honestly, from me and my wife and my family, Merry Christmas. We hope that you have an awesome Christmas. But I want to point your direction towards the screen. We're going to actually read the Christmas story, and then I'm going to pray. While I pray, I'm also going to pray for families for the Christmas season who maybe don't enjoy those seasons, because if we're honest with ourselves, Christmas is an emotional time, not just joy, not just fun, but for some people, it's tough and it's difficult because people are no longer with us, or, you know, Christmas brings up some bad memories. But I believe that as bad as those memories can be, I truly believe that the reason for the season, the joy that comes from Christ, he can overcome any obstacle that you are going through. And I don't think you should come to this experience leaving the same. I think you should leave feeling empowered, encouraged, built up, and not beat down. So that's our goal today for you. Thank you guys for coming out. Luke 2, here it is. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory, much like this right now, this fog, that's why we do it. It's a symbol of the radiance of the Lord's glory. Surrounded them. Good job, Randy. You are in charge of the radiance of the Lord's glory. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for so long. The Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped." Everyone say wrapped. Wrapped. Everyone say wrapped. Wrapped. "Snugly in strips of cloth. It's much like, what are those things called? You know, the little snuggies that you could buy that everyone was going through, that craze like 10 years ago? Jesus had a snuggie lying in a manger. The name of this message today is called Unwrapped. Unwrapped. And I'm excited to talk about this gift today. One of the biggest privileges as a pastor is to talk about the Christmas story, and you have to do it so many different ways every time you do it, because, you know, you look at it differently and you hear different things. But I do believe God has given me a word to encourage you today for whoever you are. If you're a church person, if you're not a church person, if this is your first time, your 100th time, I don't care who you are, you're going to get something out of this message that's going to encourage you. So I want to, yeah, that's exciting. I'm going to pray. And we're going to get on into this thing. Lord, we thank you so much, Father God, for what you're doing. Jesus, thank you for coming as a baby, a humble beginning. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that as we continue to look into your scripture, into your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us. I pray that our hearts would be open, our lives would be open to what you want to say. I pray for everyone in here who's going through a hard season, a tough time because family members aren't close or our people are no longer with them. I pray that you would give them a joy that's unspeakable, a peace that they can't understand. I pray, Father God, that even though those people are gone, I pray that you would just give them strength to look around to see people who are here, who can surround them, who can encourage them, who can love on them. I pray that Christmas season, Father God, it should be every season. But Lord, I thank you that together as a church family, we can celebrate something that's not just religion and man-made. This truly happened. The Savior of the world was born in the city of David. And I believe it with everything I have. And so I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Unwrapped. Everyone say unwrapped. Unwrapped. So The thing about Christmas is, I love a lot of things about Christmas, and we'll get to the Santa Claus in a little bit, but I love everything about Christmas. Christmas is a fun time. I make a list of the movies we have to watch before Christmas comes. Last night, I was watching Home Alone, because you have to watch that one close to Christmas, because Home Alone's one of the best, and tonight, I'll probably pop an Elf, or, Elf, or, you know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That was one of the best ones. And tomorrow or Monday, of course, I'm going to be binge watching A Christmas Story 40 times because TBS is my best friend. All right, 24/7. Just keep it going. Now we have Netflix and Hulu. And if you own the movie, just keep playing it. I love everything about Christmas, but there's one thing about Christmas I do not like at all: wrapping presents. Now, some of you are like, now, if you get joy out of that, I'm not here to make fun of you. If you love it, you go on with your bad self, you do it, you wrap that paper, you get the tape, you dance while you're doing it, you smile while all of us look at you weird, you just do it. Go on with yourself. I don't care, do it, but I hate it. I can't stand it. And maybe the reason why I can't stand it is because I can't do it. I mean, there's two types of people when it comes to wrapping presents, right? There's two types of people. The first people are the ones who wrap it so good that you don't even want to open it because it looks so perfect. It's like it came out of a Hallmark movie. Like, you should just put that on the scene. Let's not open it, right? And then you have people who wrap presents so bad that you accidentally throw them away because you thought it was just the remains of another present you just opened. Anybody? And I'm on that. My dad, don't cheer for him. Stop. The corners, I think he gets like the carpenter square and all this thing out and the level and tape perfectly, and you're just like, gosh, like, it just looks so perfect. It makes me very insecure. But then I'm the one that's just kind of like, I'm more of like the gift bag and tissue paper kind of guy. Can I get a, give me a gift bag, give me some tissue paper. There you go. You know, I can make a mess. It looks like my laundry basket just stuffed in a gift bag. I can do that. I just don't like a lot of wrapping presents. And so my wife, they did it, her and my mother-in-law is in from North Carolina. We should give her, thank you for coming on in. I want to honor her. She was helping Liz wrap presents while I was watching Home Improvement, because that's what I do. And I just tell her, I was like, listen, like, honestly, you know what? They're just going to open them anyways, right? They're just going to rip them open. It's an excuse for saying, I'm just not good at this. Let's just get over with this thing. Like, on Christmas Sunday, you will be able to tell who wrapped the presents by just looking at the presents under the tree. And it is judging all over the place. Like, that came from Sean and Lizzie, right? Like, Liz, is Sean rapping this year? You know, like, I do it upside down and backwards. The shoes are falling. It's just a mess. And so you can tell who wrapped the present by what it looked like. And I'm, my excuse is just, listen, they're going to open it anyways. I know people are like, oh, that is just adorable wrapping paper. People say that because they're just trying to be humble, that they really just want to rip through it and see what's in the present. But they're like, oh, I don't even need this gift. Look at the wrapping paper as you tear it open and then get the gift out of it. The reason why I say this, we look at the Christmas story, and just like you can tell which present Sean wrapped and which present his dad wrapped, whichever one that is, you the same thing. God came to the shepherds. He came with an angel, and he said this in verse 12. He said, this is a sign that you know the Savior has come. You will find him wrapped snugly in strips of cloth. You can tell what Christmas present is under the tree, the one that God sent, because he'll be in a manger wrapped with just strips of linen when he should be wrapped in gold, when he should be wrapped in the best garments ever, when he should be wrapped in something so perfect. Instead, he will come into the lowliest of places and the humblest of places, leaving heaven so he could come down to earth with us, and he will be wrapped in strips of cloth. But if we were honest with ourselves, people could probably care less what Jesus was wrapped in when they saw him, right? Like, my kids don't care about the wrapping paper. Just give me the gifts. And, you know, I'm pretty sure when people came and saw Jesus, they could care less. I know it was a humble symbolism, but when they went in there, nothing else mattered besides that baby in the manger. The Savior is here. All this waiting, we've heard it from our ancestors, freedom, liberty, saving us from our sin, from our struggle, from our pain. He is right in front of us. And so Christmas is a good time, but it's wrapped with so many things. And honestly, let's not get caught up with the wrapping paper. Let's get caught up with the gift inside the wrapping paper. Yes, cookies are great. Yes, Santa Claus, let's have fun. Yes, the songs and the bells and the dancing elves and the Hallmark movies and Die Hard. It's a Christmas movie. And all these other things, they're great, but they're just a wrapping paper. Jesus is the foundation of this season, and it remains forever. You can have that good stuff, but until you focus on what is in the middle of it, that's what changes everything. He said, this is your sign. You guys, I'm here to tell you that people are like, Christmas isn't all about gifts. Yes, it is. The very first Christmas present was wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth. The very first gift to us is not about gifts. Jesus was the gift. He's the perfect gift. And he came wrapped in a manger. And so today I want us to talk about that Jesus is a gift. He's the perfect gift that was given to mankind. Christmas is all about the gift, and his name is Jesus. The very first Christmas present was wrapped in snuggly strips. And so I want you to think tomorrow or Monday when you're unwrapping presents, that you would realize that our first Christmas gift was wrapped, but in the humblest of forms. But we don't really care, because what was in there changed everything. So talking about the gift, there's three questions I think we should ask when it comes to gifts. One of the first things we can talk about when it comes to Jesus being our gift, because we just stated that, is this. The first thing is this: who is the gift for, right? When you get a present and it's at the tree, you ask three different questions that we're going to go through. Who is the gift for? How does the gift work? And how much did this gift cost, right? Like, those are the three things that we talk about. First, it's like, oh, is it for me? Oh, how does it work? And oh, how much did you pay for this, right? Those are like the top three things we say. And I'm going to use those questions to talk about this gift, Jesus. And I'm just praying that you would actually hear me out. If you don't believe, if you believe, you can belong before you believe at our church. We truly believe that. Jesus allowed people to belong before they believed every single time. He always interacts. So thank you for coming. We're glad you're here. But I'm going to talk about Jesus and how he can change your life forever. And if there's something that could change your life forever, I would lean in, because we believe it. But the first thing is this. So we talked about this gift. Who is it for? Who is it for? Have you ever been on Christmas morning and you go to open up a gift? And then you open it and you forgot, this isn't my gift. Or you're look at it, Sean, I don't know how I'm going to fit myself in this dress, right? Because that's not your dress, Sean. Oh, it isn't? Oh, that's weird. All right, that's the uncomfortable laugh. Somebody just pictured me in a dress. Shame on you. Have you ever opened up a gift and found out because Christmas morning is so exciting and it's so fun and my brother's name is Shane and my name is Sean, just one letter off, and you look at it and you open it and I didn't ask for that. I'm not an Allen Iverson fan like he was. I'm a Grant Hill fan. Why did I get an Allen Iverson jersey? Because you opened up the wrong present, Sean. That wasn't for you, Sean. Here you go, Shane. Right? You got an Iverson jersey. That's my parents' fault. His name was too close. I love my parents. That's what I do. It's Shane and Sean. But in the story, I want to really put down right now, who is this gift for? Because there's this gift that's Jesus. He came to this earth. And some people say, okay, Sean, if he's a gift, then what was it for? Who was the gift for? It said in Luke 2, 10 through 11. We already read it. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. To all people. I don't know why the church has become so exclusive. Why in the world has the church become the most exclusive member club when the very beginning Christmas season, it was open to everybody? And now we say, here's us and here's them. But from my looks of it, Jesus said this is a hospital for the broken, that the gift is actually for those who are in the world. It's for all people. So let me just help you today. No matter where you are, this gift is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. And one thing I realized growing up is that the shared gifts, because me and my brother are 13 months apart. Talk to my parents about it later. We're 13 months apart, and we would get gifts, but my dad would say this sometimes. He'd say, Sean and Shane, you got to open that one together. Now, you think it's bad, but it's actually good because me and my brother knew that's the most expensive gift. That's going to be the PS1. That's going to be the Nintendo 64. I'm going to play Tekken, you're going to play Madden, and we're going to scream until we find out who's going to. And then this is all going to. And we would say, Sean, Shane, that's both your gifts. It was usually the biggest and the most expensive. Can I tell you something today? Jesus' gift, it's a shared gift. And it was the most expensive gift. His life was slain on the cross. But he says, because my life was given, you all can open this gift. You all can tear into this thing. It's for everyone. Shared gifts are the most expensive gift. Who is this gift for? John 3:16 says this, for this is how God loved the world. He gave. Isn't it crazy that love was defined by giving? Christmas is a big season to take. But love was defined by giving. How do I know that God truly loves me? We're celebrating it today. He was in heaven. Jesus looked down, already in heaven, had it made. I thought about my wife, how she went to Hong Kong and the Philippines, and as she was in the Philippines, they went through Tondo, and all these people were so poverty-stricken, and there was mattress springs on the walls, and they would fit hundreds of people in a 10-by-10 room, and there was garbage going through the alleyways, and she had to throw her shoes away because she accidentally stepped in it, and they couldn't take them anymore because of all the infection, and they would take all this junk and mix it together and burn it, and they would eat it. And then she said, what was crazy is when we were done ministering, we'd go over on the other side, and we would stay in a Hilton. And then from the Hilton, you could look out and see that hurt and that pain. And I was like, that's a lot what Jesus did. He was in his Hilton, in heaven, checking out the down comforter on his pillow, chilling. Everything was good. But something was broken. And he looked over and he saw us here, hurting, broken, overcome by sin. And he left that hotel. And he came into a manger. And he says, make me the gift. I'm going to come into the sick, dark world, and I'm going to bring hope and light. And he became to live among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And he came, and he became a gift. And John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, here's the thing that happens. You say, okay, Sean, I understand that the gift's for me, but you don't know what I've done. Like, we're so conditioned with this gift. We've allowed this song that we just sang. He's checking the list, checking it twice, right, to see if you've been naughty or nice. And even though it's a cute song, we actually live every single day like this. We treat Jesus and God just like Santa Claus. We look at our naughty list, and we look at our nice list, and we try to compare them, and if we could just get more things over on the nice list, then maybe God would just, you know, have some time with us. Maybe we could get into heaven, and maybe the only reason why you're at church this Sunday is because you needed to get on the nice list, because this year you've been naughty. You're like, Sean, I know the gift's for everyone, but you understand, I've been super bad this year. I haven't really been listening. You should have seen the decisions I made. And what we do, guys, is we begin to exclude ourselves from the gift that God has given us through Christ because we look at ourselves and say, why me? I'm so undeserving of this. And maybe that's you today. And some people say, as Scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. And don't tell me not everyone's sinned. I have a 2-year-old. Everyone has sinned. We learn from a young age that we want to be selfish. Me, 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 take, 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 take. Just one sin. One simple. Lie. Just one little lie. And now we're eternally separated from God. Because that's how big of a standard our God has. Because he can't coincide with sin because sin, it says the wage of sin is death, that it actually kills his people and it breaks him inside, but he can't coincide with it. And so this thing separates us from God, but maybe we don't just lie, maybe we steal. Like, no, I don't know if I steal, but maybe we kill. Sean, I've never killed anybody, but Scripture says if you hate a brother, it's like you've murdered him in your heart. Jesus said this. We just learned about it this year. Now, I'm going to break this down. And they go, oh, this is good. This isn't helpful at all. Even if you've committed adultery, we can just fill this whole thing out. I've never committed adultery, but you were checking out the menu of the other girl while your wife was sitting next to you. Jesus says it's the same thing. And the reason why he said it's the same thing, honestly, was for church people. Because the church people would look at people in their sin and say, I can't believe you. And they were eyeing other women that weren't their wives. And Jesus said, listen, buddy, they actually may be really doing it, but the fact that you're just checking her out, your heart's in the wrong place. And Jesus made it the level playing field. And maybe you do have some things over here that's nice. You know, I came to church. I got bad hair. I came to church. You know what? I've given. I bought extra presents. I've been good at work. I forgave. And we do all these things thinking that if we do enough things, then God will say, you're on the nice list. Here's the gift. That's not how our God works. Because just one sin separates us from God. Now, some people sit and say, man, I've been bad. I've messed up, even though I got some good things here. Coming to church is not going to make you a Christian. It's not. It's a good thing. Keep coming. It's great. But it's not going to make you a Christian. You're like, Sean, this is so heavy. I don't know what to get there. Here's the cool thing. Jesus came for the naughty, not the nice. This is where it starts to feel a little uncomfortable. Because here's the thing. People say, well, God's grace is for everyone. Yes, but there's a loophole. It's not for perfect people. Because you wouldn't need grace if you were perfect. But thank God there's no perfect people in this church. Because we needed God's grace. And we look at this and you say, Sean, what are you trying to say? I guess what I'm trying to say is the things that you think exclude you from God's grace are actually things that include you in God's grace. The very fact that you were a sinner now sets you up that you can find Christ and he can move it over. Like, Sean, this isn't sitting comfortable. What are you trying to say? I guess I'm trying to say it was the prostitute woman that found God's grace. I guess what I'm trying to say it was the tax collector and the sinners who were now the disciples of Jesus Christ. God's grace stuck to their stick. Their sinfulness, their hurt, and their pain. The gift is for the naughty, not to stay naughty, but to begin to transform you into the things God has. Nothing we can do, our say, our works can never line us back up with God. The only thing we can do is receive the gifts. Who is this gift for? The naughty like me. And I'm comfortable saying that. Because I've messed up this week. I've been down in the pits before. And God said, it's my grace and my gift that can get you back up and empower you to step away from those mistakes to become who I've called you to be. Don't exclude you from the gift of God because you've messed up. It's your mess ups that actually include you for the grace of God. That's why he came to a broken world so he could heal you. Cool, I'm just going to keep sinning. No! First off, if you experience Jesus' love, you're not going to want to sin. Because what he has to offer is way better than what that empty bottle has to offer. I can speak from honesty because I've been there. Who is this gift for? It's for imperfect people. If you're perfect here, you can put your headphones on. You can go ahead and leave if you want to. You already got it. You're made. But if you're imperfect and you've messed up and you've yelled at your kids and you've told a lie and you've been selfish before, God's grace and his gift was wrapped specifically for you so you could not be separated from God anymore. But he said, through this gift, through my son Jesus, you have now been brought back to me. I am thankful for a God who didn't stay in heaven, but he came down into my mess and he turned it into a message. He came down into my mess and said, Sean, I love you and I still want to do something in you. Don't exclude you from the gift because you've been naughty. Instead, say, God, because I've been naughty, please, I need your grace. He came for all people. What is the gift for? All people. Number two, what does it do? Or how does it work? Number two, how does the gift work? How does the gift work? Have you ever got any gifts? And you're like, thank you. I've heard that if your voice gets higher when you say thank you, you're lying. I love these tube socks. I love this movie. How'd you know? Thanks for this sweater, Grandma, right? Like, and then next one you have to wear it. Like, oh, you need to wear that sweater. You know, like, okay. Not this one. I bought this one. I actually bought this one. how does this thing work? I don't know if you got a gift and you're like, what is this for? So Jesus, his gift was for all people, but some people are saying, okay, so Jesus came, how does this whole thing work? What does this look like? What did he come to do? What makes us go from naughty to nice? I don't understand this. I hope I can help you understand this, but I thought about my actual father-in-law. And a while back, I am mechanically inclined. Like, I can't do anything with mechanics stuff. I don't know what to do. I like to mow. I can mow. I can do that. When it comes to edging and stuff like that, like, I didn't know really about all the specifics. I guess when I got my own home, I was unprepared for everything in life. I just went to a corner and cried. I was like, what? This break? You have to do that? You have to change filters? Is that why there's dust flying through the air? I don't understand. Yeah, some of you are like, oh, I need to change that when I get home. Our sidewalks were kind of looking pretty rough. Like, you know, like when you haven't had a haircut for a few weeks after you're supposed to and it's hanging over your ears, like that's kind of what our grass looked like on our sidewalk. And my wife was raised in a home where, I mean, it was immaculate yard, right? So she always look out and be like, And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Get some scissors? I don't know. I mowed over. I don't know what's going on. It's just not, I don't get it. It's just growing over. I've done it. And she goes, no, you got to edge it. I'm like, I don't have an edger. Well, her dad came and she was talking to him about it and he actually bought us an edger, which is awesome, right? If you knew how it worked. Which is super dangerous in itself because there's a giant blade that's like, I'm like, how does this thing, what is it? No, I'm just kidding. He showed me, but he left, and so I remember like, yeah, girl, I'm gonna edge the sidewalk for you. It's gonna be awesome. She's gonna come home. It's gonna be whoo, whoo. She's gonna be like, boy, that is awesome. This is before we had kids. I was like, we're gonna have, you know, this is gonna be awesome. Don't look at me weird. I'm married. Gosh, you watch worse stuff on TV. And so I was like, this is gonna be awesome. So I'm working on it, and sure enough, it's just like, and it's like awful. It looks like, you know, like when the kid cuts their own hair instead of actually going to the barbershop, it's like going into the yard, and I've hit the thing. There's sparks flying everywhere because the blade's hitting the thing, and my neighbor's like looking. I'm like, he's like a 56-year-old retired man, like, oh gosh, millennials, right? Like, he's like, he was judging me. She came home, and I'm just like, hey, babe, just come on inside. Just forget everything. Don't look at it. And sure enough, it just sat in there. I didn't use it again, and she even used it before, and it sat there for a while. I even used a weed whacker to do it and everything like that, just to kind of keep it focused. And I realized something, that if you don't know how a machine works, two things could happen. Either you'll misuse it, or you just won't use it at all. Mine was misused, and then it was to stay in the garage, right? And if you're listening to this, Dad, I use it again. I found out how to work it. My wife showed me, your daughter. Thanks for giving her to me. And I realized that in this season, man, Jesus, how does this thing work? We have so many people that misuse them. They don't understand how it works, and so they think they can walk around and wear them on their necklace. Like, this is a big deal. Like, I got my bumper sticker and I got my necklace, but you're a hellion wherever you go. I say I'm a follower of Christ. I'm saying this, and I'm here to tell you guys, if you don't know how this whole thing works, you'll misuse it or you'll leave them in the shelf in the first place. But my goal is to say, listen, this is what the grace of Jesus is for. He's not just to wear on your neck. He's not just to put a tattoo on your arm, although it's cool. You can do that. But there's a lot of people who do that, but they don't understand how it works. It's greater than that. It's more glorious than that. It's more freeing than that. If we don't understand it, but look at what Scripture says in Ephesians. Paul laid it out for us how this thing works. God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Our gift. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as an example of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Before we go on, he literally says that he came down to this earth, saved us, and then he puts us up in heavenly places. He bankrupt the Hilton, left heaven, had it made for us, saved us, and then pulled us up into that. That's why we're called to bring heaven to earth. We have people who just pray the prayer for fire insurance. I just don't want to go to hell. Man, Jesus wants to do way more in your life than just preventing you from going to hell. He wants you to actually heal some people, pray for people, encourage people, start churches for people, see people come to Christ. Don't just live in your closet. Get out and use the authority God has given you to bring heaven to earth. Did you know you could actually step into your poor, broken, depressed job and actually bring joy and hope because heaven lives inside of you? They don't need to pull you down. You need to pull them up. Well, I just went to work and they pulled me down. You're telling me that the authority of Christ that lives in you just got pulled down because of one negative comment? Get in there and give them heaven. Pull them up. Give them Christ. Bring heaven to earth. Man, we misuse the gift. He says we have been placed in heavenly places. Guys, we don't have to worry what people think about us when we know what God says about us. We don't have to worry about what people say about us if we know what God says about us. We don't have to live fearful of what people say because God said, I have placed you in heavenly places. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift. Everyone say gift. From God, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So no one can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do good things he planned for us long ago. You see, I look here, and this is how it works, guys. Jesus was a baby. He lived for 30 years. I just celebrated my 30th birthday on Monday. Thank you guys for your surprise last week. It was awesome. Jesus waited till 30. He was baptized. The Holy Spirit lived within him. He began to heal, preach the gospel for 3 years. And then he went to the cross. And he was perfect, and he was holy. He was tempted, and he did suffer, and he had persecution, but he did it all without sinning. And then he went to the cross when we deserved it. We look at Judas like, Judas betrayed Jesus. Judas was a picture of us. Judas is us. We've betrayed him. We've ran towards money besides him. We've ran towards the gift and of not the giver. Judas was a picture of us, but Jesus said, Judas, you should be on this cross, but instead I'm going to take your cross. And Jesus took your cross and my cross and everything we did, and he said, sin has been conquered, it is finished, and he went down into the depths of this earth, and 3 days later, it's not Easter yet, but I'm already celebrating, he rose from the grave, and he said, now that I have raised up from the grave, you can raise up from your pit, you can raise up from your addiction, I can resurrect new things in you. Some of you need to be excited that you're no longer on the death train, but you're on the life train. You can celebrate Easter today if you want. He's made a new life in you. That's the gift. How does this work? The blood that was shed on the cross should have been my blood. That's why people say the blood of Jesus, oh, the precious blood of Jesus washes away our sin. That's how it works. How it works is a man that didn't deserve death paid your debt on the cross when we deserved it. He didn't just wash it away. He paid for it. He didn't say, excuse the debt. No, he said, I'm going to pay for it with my life. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. So how does it work? I thought about my daughters in this explanation. I got a gift where I was kind of like, well, how does this thing work? My daughter was turning 2 and she was getting bigger. And I guess at this day and age, you're in a car seat until you're like 12. Like, I can still be pulled over because of my weight and height and be like, where's your booster seat at? I'm like, see my beard? Like, nowadays, it's like, you have to be like, when I was a kid, I was like playing in the back of like the window and laying up there like, hey, road trip, you know, like, if we go, we all go, like, woo, you know, that's just kind of how it was. And now you have to be so old. And so someone got us a gift, but they got Avery a car seat. Coming out of her baby phase into a toddler, and they said, listen, this is an all-in-one. I'm like, how does it work? What does it do? I'm like, well, she's going to start off facing this way and this seat, but then when she's this age and this many pounds, she's going to turn around and sit in this way, and then when she reaches this age, you're going to take this part off, and then when she reaches this age, then you're going to use this, and I'm like, and then when she leaves the house? And they said, but really what it is, it's for all seasons of life. It's for this. You don't have to keep buying them. Now you got this gift that can be interchangeable. So for the next season, you have a solution as well. Can I tell you something about Jesus? He's a gift that has a special function. He's a gift that's an all-in-one. I don't know what you need right now, and you may have guys say, how does this thing work? Listen, if you just take him in this season of life, he will show you how he works. And then when you get older and there's a new season and thing has to change, he's like, I'm going to be the same there as well, the same yesterday, today. And then in the next season, he's like, I got an answer for that too, and I can make other things work. This isn't just three stages of life. If you begin to trust in Jesus, he will be with you every stage of life. Not saying it's going to be easy, but he will give you the tools, the joy, the peace, and the strength you need to get through whatever you are. He's an all-in-one gift. That's how he works. That's how he works. How does this gift work? He saves us from our sin. You guys, we're destined for hell because of one sin, but Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life so he could be with us every single day of our life. And the last thing is this: how much did this gift cost? You know, I've already kind of hinted towards that, but how much did this gift cost? Here's the thing with gifts is, a gift is free. Like, when you say the word gift, I was given a gift. I've never seen, like, my kids, like, on Monday, they're not going to open up their gifts and pull out their wallet and be like, okay, Dad, so how much do I owe you? First off, that'd be hilarious. I'd be like 150 bucks. Like, come on. Man, you know, like, give me those baby RS cards. I'll work something out. How much does this thing cost? And I realized that they've never done that because it's a gift. Here's the thing about gifts. To the receiver, it's free, but to the giver, it costs something. Have you noticed that? Like, if I'm going to give a gift to someone, I'm going to pay for it so they can receive it. And when we look at the story, I realize that the gift of Christ and what he gave to us was so big. It was so vast. And this is what happens when someone gets you an expensive gift. We've all said this. Oh, no, you shouldn't have. Isn't it crazy how when someone gets us an expensive gift, we just feel so unworthy of receiving it? Oh, I haven't been that good of a mom. I haven't been that good of a friend. I haven't been that good of a... And they're like, no. And what happens is we actually discredit them and their sacrifice. That they said, listen, if I sacrificed my time and my money to get you this gift, I think it's worth it. It was worth it. I wanted to do it. I wanted to give you a gift. There's times I want to get my wife something and it hurts. It takes sacrifice. Meaning like, you know what? This might be some of my money or this might be some of this. But there's one thing in my heart I know. I want to do it. And so when she says, you shouldn't have, I'm like, oh, yeah, I should have. But here's the thing. When we begin to realize this gift that God's given, I think a lot of people feel shame. And he doesn't want you to feel shame. He wants that weight to hit on the shoulders like, there's no way. I've gotten some good gifts, but I've never had someone give their life up for me. We believe this, guys. This actually happened. This isn't a story. This isn't a good story time. This is the Savior of the world who came down in our sin and our shame because we were separated from his Father, and he came to bring us back so we could party in heaven forever. This isn't about what we see right now. This is an eternity. You may be living life for 80 years on this earth. Great. But what's going to happen in eternity is what Jesus came to focus on. It says this in John 10 through or 17 through 18. This is why I want to preface with this before I read it. Gifts cost the giver. A lot of people say Jesus' life was taken from him. Jesus' life was not taken from him. Listen, you can't steal a gift. Like, oh, where'd you get this gift? I stole it from Foot Locker. That's not a gift. That's a stolen item, right? Like, you can't do, it's my gift. Like, I can't tell my daughter, like, the other day we were at McDonald's and she ripped a bell off their, one of their decorations. And she's just like, walking out the door. I'm like, you, what are you doing? Like, it's like, it's mine now. No, you stole that. You can't have that, right? As my mother-in-law put it back on there. And that wouldn't be it. And so we have this, sometimes we preach this thing like, the Pharisees took his life and these people took his life. Jesus rose from the grave. He could have handled a couple of Pharisees. Like, when my daughter's wrestling me for something, I'm like, oh, you can't take it. Oh, you can't take it. And then I'm like, oh, you got it. She really didn't get it. I mean, I could have picked her up and threw her against the wall. I could have picked her up and body slammed her. I could have got a good knee in the face, right? I was kidding. I wouldn't, but think about it. Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it took more self-control for him to take the wrath on the cross and not doing something about it, much like we do on Facebook, but he didn't do anything about it. He said, I'm going to take the ridicule. I'm going to take the pain. I could get down from this thing and rain legions of angels down here, but instead, I'm going to take it. Why? Because there's some people in this experience who need to find Jesus today. There's some people who need eternity. I'm going to withhold my anger. I'm going to withhold my authority, and I'm going to die a death that they deserve so they could have a life they don't deserve. I'll stay up here. His life wasn't taken, his life was given. Look at John 10, 17 through 18. The Father loves me because I sacrificed my life so I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. Katniss Everdeen, everybody. I volunteer for tribute. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. What is he saying? I want to lay this straight before I leave and go back to heaven. This gift, I want everyone to know that the Holy Spirit living in me, I could have done whatever I wanted to stay off that cross. But I didn't. Because he was thinking about us. He could have taken care of it, but he says, no, 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 they didn't take my life. I gave it. For Christmas, he came in the manger. He was wrapped. He came, and even though it took 33 years to fulfill it, people knew at this moment the Savior of the world, even though at that time they thought it was going to be a physical thing, that they're going to save him from the Roman government, and he's like, no, 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 I'm going to do something way greater than just the Roman government. Meaning the Roman government can be as ridiculing and as hard and as persecuting as it can be, but I'll live inside of you so you can overstand it. And even though things come after you, you are going to be greater in it because greater is he that is in you than things that are in this world. It's not about the government. Everything can be going against you, but if you have Jesus in you, you can walk around it. You can walk over it. He will bring you through it. That's the gift I came to give. Not a physical gift, but a spiritual gift. He says, I gave it. It was a gift. But I love this. After he died, said it was finished for us. Luke 23, 53 through 54. Then he took the body down from the cross. Everyone help me out. And wrapped. They took the body down from the cross. They wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. So Jesus came. Wrapped. He died. Wrapped. Guys, his death was just as big as a gift as his life. Jesus' death was just as big as a present as his life. Because at that moment, when he died on the cross, he said, the sin that we have done has been paid. In full. And he died. He had to die. He took the wrath of God for us. And they wrapped him. Guys, his death was a gift. And I know we talked about unwrap, but here's the cool thing. We now know 3 days later that he's not wrapped anymore. That the present that was once wrapped, it's now unwrapped. Unwrapped. I want us to have an unwrapped Christmas. You see, he came as a child wrapped, in his death he was wrapped, but now he lives forever. And when he rose out of the grave, not only did he conquer sin, but it said that when he resurrected, now he brings us to life. People are like, oh, is Christianity about bad people becoming good? Nope, it's about dead people becoming alive. Because nothing we can do will ever make us right with God. But what Jesus did makes us right with God. He's unwrapped. So this Christmas season, I'm telling you, Christmas is Monday, but I told you the present before Christmas even got here. You see, one thing I love about my wife is she always gets me gifts, and then she goes, do you want it now? I'm like, what is it? Well, what is it? And I know what the gift is, like, well, I need them now. Like, she's wearing shoes right now that I got her for Christmas, and she's wearing them right now. Because here's the truth. When you know what the gift is, you can't wait. You want it now. You want to get it now. And I love this about Jesus. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you a present and we don't know what's in it. You're going to have to open it and we'll find out. No, he said, listen, I came as a baby. I lived a life next to you. I lived without sin. I took your life on the cross. I rose from the grave. No more under wraps. You have now seen the complete work of Jesus Christ. Now you just have to receive it. What do we do with gifts? Receive them. You mean I don't owe him anything? Nope, just receive it. You mean I don't have to do this and this and this? Nope, you just need to receive it. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never received the gift from God, you are separated from him. But it doesn't matter how many times you come to church, how good your language is, it doesn't matter what you do, you can never be made right with Christ. But what Jesus did can make you right with Christ. As we're closing, I thought about this show that I watch entirely too much called Let's Make a Deal. First off, Wayne Brady, he cracks me up. He's hilarious. And I love this show because what happens is these people will get a car, right? We got a brand new car, yeah! Not wrapped, they see the gift, and then they ask this question. Now, you could take that car, and I'm already saying, take the car, take the car, take the car! Or you can have what's behind door number 1, 2, or 3. What would you like to do? And they always choose the door. And the door opens, and there's a donkey behind there. Wah, wah, zonk. Guys, can I tell you something? It says in Scripture that the wages of sin is death. Which means that the enemy wraps his presence of death in sin. Sin looks fun, but when you open that present, there's nothing in it. It's a zonk. Jesus said, you don't have to wait to open this thing. I'm just gonna tell you what it is right now. You need Jesus. Your life has been hurting, it's been broken. It doesn't mean it's gonna get perfect overnight, but you'll have someone who's always walking with you. And when this life is over, you'll always be with him. But now we're at the stage where you're like, you know what? Here he is. Or am I gonna take what's behind number 3? And you'll find out anything besides Christ always ends in a zonk. It may take 14 years, 40 years, 50 years, maybe 1 week, but I'm telling you, it will always end in a zonk. But Jesus says, I'm unwrapped this Christmas season. Just receive it. Just receive it. Romans 10, 9 through 10. This is how we receive it. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He tied it up in one verse how you can find salvation. It was never made to be any harder than that. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How do I receive the gift, Sean? Through faith. You've been saved by grace through faith. What does faith mean? It means you believe that Jesus died on the cross, he rose up from the grave, and you believe it in your heart to where you say with your lips, Lord, my sin is too big for me. Thank you for what you did for me. I'm going to declare today from my lips that I want you to be number one in my life. And at that moment, something spiritual happens. The great exchange. God's righteousness falls into your life and your sin is completely washed up. He says your sin is as far as the east is from the west, and now you are a child of God and nothing can snatch you out of his hand, Scripture. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna pray. And if you're here today, you said, Sean, I wanna pray that prayer. I wanna make Jesus number one in my life. He's the perfect gift. I've been living my life without him. I need him in my life. I keep seeing all these zonks. I need to make a deal now with Jesus. We're gonna close our eyes and we're gonna pray. And everyone's gonna repeat after me. But if you want to receive Christ, you're not just gonna repeat after me, you're gonna mean it. You're gonna say, God, this is my moment. And you're gonna declare it with your lips. You may not feel anything, but you can believe that Jesus comes into your situation and gets rid of all your past. So let's pray together, church. Say, Lord, thank you for sending the gift of Jesus. I choose him today. Forgive me for my sin. I'm on the naughty list. I'm separated from you. But I need you. My family needs you. I don't want my past to dictate my future. I want you to dictate my future. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I believe that you can change my heart and take me from death to life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now hold on, this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna count to three. If you pray that prayer, I mean, you said, today I'm choosing a gift. Something just happened. No longer are you defined by this world, you are defined by God. And you are now forever in his arms, in his hands, in his presence. But we like to celebrate. And we think we should openly declare it. So this is what we're gonna do. I'm gonna count to three. If you made that prayer today, you said, today I chose Jesus, at the count of three, you're gonna lift your hand up. You're not gonna have to come up here. We're not gonna make you do anything. We just wanna celebrate with you. And we wanna cheer because it says that all of angel is rejoicing when one person prays that prayer, when one person comes to salvation. So I'm gonna count to three. And you're not even gonna think about it. You're gonna say, Sean, I prayed that prayer. And we're going to get crazy loud. Because that's what we do here. And what better way Christmas season than to celebrate people who made a decision to follow Christ. So if you pray that prayer a minute, one, Jesus loves you. Two, your sins have been eradicated. Three, raise your hand and say, I prayed that prayer right now. Leave that hand up. We're gonna celebrate. Leave that hand up, way up high. Come on, celebrate, leave it up. We're gonna get you a gift right here. God bless you, praise God. God bless you, man. Hey, best decision of your life. Leave those hands up, we got a gift for you right here. Praise God. Let's give it up for him one more time. New life in Christ. New life in Christ. Gosh. You just don't understand. You keep walking with him, you will. Man. Those who made that step today, it may be tough sometimes. Don't give up. Find a church if you're not living around here to get plugged into. Find some people who can encourage you. There may be people around you who tell you other things. I'm telling you, it ends useless. Jesus is truly the reason for this season. And we're so excited for you. We are so excited for you. There's a card on that bag that they gave you. We want to get you connected with our connections pastor. They're not going to haggle you. They're just going to make sure that you're good. They want to stay in connection with you to help you with your walk with Christ. If you could take that off your bag, sign it, and take it right to the hub. Just drop it off and go like this. Woo! Because that's what it's all about. Could you do that for us? I'm going to pray one last time and dismiss. Lord, we thank you so much for what you did today. Lord, Christmas is all about you. What a way to start off this Christmas season. We're so grateful for the new life in Christ. We thank you for it. Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us. And we thank you again for everything you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's